ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000.
The trade deadline in Major League Baseball came and went and didn't disappoint this year. 10 players who were all-stars this year were traded.
Crazy.
Joey Gallo, Nelson Cruz, Kyle Gibson, Adam Frazier, Eduardo Escobar, Kyle Schwarber, Max Scherzer, Craig Kimbrell, Trey Turner, Chris Bryant. The most players to make the All-Star game and change teams in the same season.
32 trades, 80 players in the last 24 hours?
Yeah. Unbelievable. It was so crazy, and like I said, three hours never went so fast. I was sitting on my couch from 11:30 to like 3:15, so I know it's more than 3 hours. But yeah, it just flew by. I said, oh, it just keeps going, because you couldn't. They go to commercial, and all of a sudden you would see on your Twitter or something, oh, there's another rumor. Right. Oh, somebody else got traded. Oh, this happened.
I didn't stick on the commercials. I kept flipping around to see.
Yeah.
Did Rick Hahn do enough? As a Sox fan, I know some people said, felt like there was more to do.
Yeah.
Was there?
Yeah. He got pitchers. Tapera's got to be better than obviously he was yesterday. And then they went and got another guy. So they got two pitchers to help the bullpen. They got a second baseman. That's what they needed. They figured some people said they need another catcher, but Grandal's going to be coming back. Okay, so love him or hate him, and I'm not a big Grandal fan.
Well, but he had a few weeks there. I know you're paying him like he should have a few months there, but he's had a few weeks.
Yeah, right. There's no doubt about it. And Tapera leaves the Cubs and he comes to the White Sox. He was extremely happy.
Yeah, I'm excited. You know, I think once you get older and play this game for a long time and get towards a longer career, you really want to win. And coming here, obviously to a great team in first place and a great chance to make the playoffs and make a run. That's what I want to be a part of. So I'm super excited.
Yeah. And
again, everyone loves that guy. Everyone in that Cubs clubhouse loves him. So he's going to fit right in with a very tight-knit Sox team.
He should. Yeah.
And he didn't have to move. And everyone knows what a pain in the rear end is to move. I don't care. So he gets to stick around. So
Yeah, I know. I'm getting ready to. But if they ever put a shovel into the ground in my new house, I'm getting ready to. So, and that'll be cleaning out a house that you've had for 26 years.
Oh, yeah, good Lord.
Not going to be easy.
No one looks forward to that.
Anybody wants old media guys, I get a call grabber.
They're on eBay already, and he doesn't even know what you have.
312-332-3776. A lot of people want to talk about the Cubs deal. A lot of people want to talk about the White Sox. Did they get enough? If you're a White Sox fan, did the White Sox get enough? Jeff Passan, Buster Olney on the Baseball Tonight trade special yesterday, talking about all the moves the Cubs made and the overhaul of talent.
2 hours ago, guys, I said that this has the chance to be a completely formative moment for the Chicago Cubs' future. And Jed Hoyer, over those last 2 hours, the president of baseball operations, has executed on that. He's gotten Nick Madrigal from the White Sox. He's gotten Pete Crow Armstrong, the young prospect outfielder from the New York Mets. But when you look at the amount of talent that the Chicago Cubs are compiling through this unburdening of themselves from these players, it's quite impressive.
Yeah, 3/4 of the Chicago Cubs infield are no longer members of the Chicago Cubs. The third baseman, the shortstop, and the first baseman are all gone. All right, so let's positive spin it for the Cubs, the ability to change the entire culture, look of the organization, with the idea you could actually, at the offseason, bring any of them back if you wanted to.
Well, compare it to what the Rockies have done in terms of handling Nolan Arenado and Trevor Story.
That's not good.
Right, exactly. And the Cubs, on the other hand, got value out of these guys before they walk out the door as free agents. And it was pretty clear in recent years, it became hard for this group of players to be the 2016 champions, who after that were always perceived to have underachieved. And I feel like they really needed to change a culture there, and they're going to get one.
See, that's what a lot of the baseball, quote, experts feel. And a lot of – there were Cub fans, too. They did not get to where they needed to be. And you brought it up earlier, Brian, but, we all talked about it when the Bears won the Super Bowl in 85, and then they go 14-2 the next year and losing the playoffs to Washington. It's like they were – we always thought they'd get there again and didn't. And, Theo's – Theo's phrase was sustained success. And they did make the playoffs.
Right. Yeah, right.
They did make the playoffs 5 or 6 years, but they didn't take that next step and get the second one. And again, we know it's not easy. Okay. What is it? In the American League, no one's repeated since the Yankees in 99 and 2000. I mean, it's crazy.
I would argue it's easier to win back to back Super Bowls, certainly, than it is to win a World Series title, just because of the injuries and the duration of the season and
number of games.
Yeah.
Yeah. The number of games you play, the number of games you play in the playoffs to get to the big games. It's more than just one. There's no doubt about it. And it's not an easy thing. We know that. But when you have that talent and you think you're going to be able to get there again and you get to the playoffs, you know, that's a nice thing. They got to the playoffs numerous times afterwards and were unable
just
to get there.
No.
Yeah. Let's go.
Tom Nichols tweeted at us, CHW Tom. Selling off only makes sense if you get some difference-making prospects. I'm not sure that they did. They did that. And that's the thing. I mean, all you can do is go, like you said, on the experts, the people who follow the stuff, the pipeline guys who rate, you know, prospects in each organization. And at least these deals, they were top 20 prospects within the organization.
Sure.
Right? Or major league ready players like, you know, Madrigal and was fourth overall pick in the Darvish deal. I mean, there were four teenagers who I'm going to bet Anthony Rizzo gets 4 years at $100 million before we see any of those four guys in the Darvish deal wearing a Cubs uniform at Wrigley.
Yeah. I mean, just so people know, from the Giants, they got their number 9 prospect outfielder, Alexander Canario. From the Mets, they got their number 5 prospect, Pete Crow Armstrong. Someone asked, how are they going to fit that on his uniform? I have no idea how they're going to fit Crow Armstrong on a uniform.
Hyphenated.
And then from the Yankees, they got their 9th overall prospect, a right-handed pitcher, Alexander Vizcaino, and also an outfielder who's number 12 in their system, Kevin Alcantara.
And, who's 19.
Yeah. So you did get some guys who at least were high on the list of other teams in their prospect list, which is what you know, the only thing you can do, and you have to hope that your scouts have told you these are guys that have a possibility, if not to make it, can be moved to get other players as you go forward. Let's go out to the phones. We go to Beverly. And what's up, Beverly?
Hi, guys. Just a couple comments regarding your survey on who is at fault for what as far as percentages. I'm not going with the players 100%. I'm going with the players and the entire organization, mainly Ricketts. I think if they would have signed Castellanos and kept what's his name? Oh, now I'm doing a blank. Our pitcher that we sent to
Darvish.
Darvish, yeah. I apologize.
Yeah.
Darvish.
Oh, that's okay. Yeah. Yeah, we do this all the time.
Yeah.
This team would have looked like a totally different team. And I think the downfall for the Cubs organization was the Marquee Network. That took too much money from them. And with the pandemic, it just didn't work. But I'm not going to blame the players. I know they had the 11-game swoon. I get it. And they're responsible for that and the droughts that they had on and off the other years. But I don't think that the organization made the best moves for them either.
Well, all the above was an option. It sounds like, Beverly, you're going maybe everyone gets a little share of the blame, but not the players the least share of the blame?
No, I'm a diehard Cub fan, and I've watched I don't even know how many years now. Every year it was – it was kind of, the handwriting on the wall where they'd these long droughts of not hitting and you'd get people on base and nobody could push them in.
Amen.
And,
yeah.
I blame the players for that, but I thought Castellanos put a real spark in the team for a while there.
Yeah, absolutely did.
I just would have liked to seen where it would have gone if they would have signed him and then kept Darvish, because that's, to me, that would have been a whole different ball game, so to speak. But, yeah, no, I guess I want to give equal share of fault all the way around. But, you know, I don't think that – I hope that they would get them all back as far as the three big ones. But I doubt that Javi and KB will be back.
Yeah.
But, man, I'm really hoping and praying that Rizzo comes back, because he truly is the heart and soul of the Cubs and Chicago.
A lot of Cub fans are with you, Beverly.
Yeah, Beverly, appreciate the call. And she brought up great points. If they would have kept signed Castellanos, don't make the Darvish deal. It's not only Darvish, and I know people say Victor Caratini was just a backup catcher. One of the backup catchers this year. They're all over the place. They had like five or six guys, it seems like, as backup catchers. And if they would have kept those two, it would have also shown the team that they're interested in winning, and that would have been interesting, I think.
Well, I was really ticked off that they didn't sign Castellanos to keep him around. I mean, I pay to see that guy play every day. That's the type of player he is. But the idea that, Theo jumped ship, saw this coming. The Darvish deal, that told you all the handwriting was on the wall, like Beverly said. I think Jesse's, one of his most salient points was that everyone's to blame. Joe Madden everyone got complacent.
Right.
And even Theo and Jed at the time talked about how the culture's got to change and the hitting's got to change. And so let's fire another batting coach. And yet they weren't proactive. They sat thinking this core was going to get back to putting up the numbers that they put up to win a World Series. So I'm with Jesse that, everyone got a little too comfortable, including the front office. And when Darvish deal was done, I thought, okay, that they're not committed to winning anything this year, and then may happen, and kind of force their hands to at least talk about adding, right?
Sure. Yeah, and you had no choice. You had to do that at that point. When you're still there, you're tied with Milwaukee, and things are going well, and Milwaukee has made great moves, too. The Brewers have made some great moves. Their pitchers have all stepped up and played very well. Let's go on out to Barrington and Ken. Ken, you're on ESPN 1000. What's going on?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Really glad to hear you guys like Magic Row. I'm not a Sox fan, so I didn't really know anything about the guy. But I was really tired of the Cubs' non-contact, especially with runners in scoring position. It was just so maddening to see them load the bases with one or nobody out and not score or only score one run. It was just really aggravating. But what I wanted to ask you was about Patrick Wisdom. Do you think the front office views him as the third baseman of the future or the first baseman of the future, or is he just a guy? Thanks a lot.
Okay, we appreciate it.
He's not a young guy.
No, he's not. He's not a young guy. Right now he's hitting .269. He has 16 homers, 29 RBIs.
He's somewhere between just a guy and a guy you can count on for a while.
Yeah.
But he's not third baseman of the future. I mean,
baseman. Yeah. I know he played first too.
Yeah, no, I mean, he's not a guy you build around, right?
I mean,
he's not Ian Happ, certainly.
It feels very like David Bodie.
Yeah.
Is he going to be around for a couple of years? Sure, maybe.
Sure.
Yeah, he may have bought himself a couple of years, but not going to be a centerpiece or anything.
And so Ken knows here, I gave some of the Madrigal numbers earlier, but his last 20 games before he got hurt, his slash line, .365, .420 on base, and a .568 slug with two homers, two triples, and five doubles. And what I didn't give was with two strikes, he hit .284.
Yep.
With two outs, he hit .304. And with two on and runners in scoring position, he had .315. So, he is a guy that puts the bat in the ball. He's a nice player. He's a nice ball player. And, I don't think he's one of those guys that's going to go into a permanent slump. He's a guy that hits the ball.
No, and look, for a team that left on base, always seems to be 8, 9, 10, 12.
Constant, right.
Okay, I mean, like you said, with two guys on, this guy's going to deliver more often than not or often enough.
Yeah.
You need guys like that. His exit velocity of 104, I think, is his best.
Right.
Which is, nothing in this day and age, right? He's just not that guy. And he needs to walk more.
Yeah. So. Yeah, it's funny because when he first got drafted, I heard people say, well, he may never develop into a power guy. And I'm saying, who cares?
Yeah.
If he gets on base, hits .300, gets on base at a .400 rate, I don't care if he ever hits a homer. That's what your other guys are supposed to do.
You can find those guys. I mean, 30 home run guys are not, that difficult to find anymore. Right?
No.
They used to be the standard, and now it's, if the guy's not hitting 20 home runs, what's he doing in your lineup?
Yeah, that's the way it plays out. 312-332-3776. A lot of people jumped on. Want to get to them when we come back after this on ESPN 1000.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Facebook at ESPN Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Ooh.
So the White Sox made their deals. They get Craig Kimbrel, who got to the ballpark during the game yesterday. And then Ryan Tepera, also Cesar Hernandez, who got to play second base for the White Sox and hit second. Got a couple hits. He laid down a really nice bunt that was trying to bunt for a hit. And he got on base because the Indians, boy, the Indians looked like a grade school team for a while there.
Yeah, one inning.
Whoa. Oh, my God. Yeah, defensively in the eighth inning, it was crazy. Whoa. They were going to bunt with Sebi Zavala, and there was a guy on first, then there was a wild pitch or a pass ball, and then the ball went into the outfield. It's like, oh, my Lord, there's no reason to bunt. So they actually took Zavala away as a hitter with a 2-0 count and put Zach Collins up, lefty against righty. And Zach Collins stood there, took two pitches, and walked. And it was interesting on the post game because Zavala's been struggling at the bat, which they knew he was going to. The people were saying, well, it's got to be tough to pinch hit. And Gordon Beckham had a funny line. He goes, yeah. He goes, you appear to be upset. And then when you walk past the manager, you say, thanks a lot. Because you weren't hitting it this way. You weren't going to strike out again. But Rick Hahn did say, and we'll get right to the calls, 312-332-3776. Rick Hahn did say yesterday that the team actually prioritized winning now over winning in the future.
Partying with Nick Madrigal is not easy. Partying with Cody Hoyer is not easy. Jed will tell you, if he hasn't told you already, how much we fought on that. In the end, those were both key pieces from the Cubs' perspective in order to get the deal done. And we understood going into this process that the only way we were going to secure, especially Kimbrel, was by having the best offer. In the end, that was the cost. As I discussed both with Nick and Cody during what I'm sure they both felt were surprising phone calls and that I didn't necessarily anticipate making this morning, we made a conscious decision to prioritize today over the distant future. Obviously, both Cesar and Craig are potentially under team control for next year, so we don't view this as a one-and-done situation with either player. But there was always going to come a point in the course of this rebuild process, as we had talked about from the start, when we had the opportunity to win. And we had to respect those opportunities, and we had to do everything in our power as a front office to maximize those opportunities. And it wasn't going to be easy. We've had to move players in the past that were ones when we were at the 180-degree opposite point of this rebuild, that it wasn't easy to move established guys you had long-term relationships with, but it was necessary to move the process forward. Today was sort of the diametric opposite of those deals we made back at the winter of 2016, moving players that we had different types of long-term relationships with, back to drafting them or acquiring them as kids. But it was essential for us, we feel, to put us in the best position to take the most important and final step in this process.
So it's this year. They want to win now, and that's a good thing.
I mean, I love hearing that. Yeah. It's the only championship you can win. I know you and I had a little bit disagreement earlier in the season, but it was earlier in the season.
Right.
But now here you are, squarely in the middle with the largest lead in any division. You're in the driver's seat. What can you do to make this team better, to be a good playoff team, a team that can make some real headway in the postseason? So God bless him for doing it. It's like when the Cubs gave up Gleyber Torres for Chapman, right?
Right, right.
I mean, I wanted to give up Schwarber. I didn't want to give up the future. You know, no. I mean, Torres wasn't even here. But I got, a lot of pushback on that. People still say you wouldn't have won a World Series without Schwarber. I don't know. Maybe you would, maybe you wouldn't. But you swing for the fences when you feel your team, ahead of schedule or not, is in a position to win something this year. I think you do everyone a disservice in the clubhouse if you don't go for it.
Yeah, the only question now is how you work with two closers. What do you do with Liam Hendricks and Craig Kimbrel, how it's going to work. I would not be surprised if today the White Sox need a closer. And after Liam Hendricks went yesterday, I would not be surprised if Kimbrel came in tonight. But that's up to Tony La Russa now. That's his job. The GM gives him the players. Now he's got to decide how to use the bullpen.
So, and Rick talked about that yesterday, right? He talked about how you manage the bolstered pitching staff you have, right? So you've now got – you had arguably the best rotation in baseball. Now you've had the best bullpen probably. Now it's that much better.
Yeah, it really is.
It's up to Tony and his staff to figure out innings and personalities and ego. I mean, how do you placate both those guys,
Yeah. The funny thing, the ego is the one thing that gets you because – listen, they're paying you. If you win as a team, it's going to be good for everybody. Okay? You're getting money. Liam Hendricks knows he signed a 4-year deal. So technically, you should just say whatever's good for the best for the team. But I know that as a player and as a guy that comes in like Hendricks does, nothing aggravated him more than giving up the homer the other day.
Sure.
In Kansas City. And probably if you watched him yesterday, he was as pumped up as I don't know if I think I've ever seen him. And he wasn't even doing it with fastballs. He was throwing sliders. He's throwing curves and everything else like that, breaking stuff yesterday and getting strikeouts and doing the job. But he was just huffing and puffing. It was fun watching him. Let's go to the phones. We go to the Northwest side. And Tom, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Tom.
Thanks, Fred. Thanks for taking my call. Just wanted to chime in to say that that ego thing, the duplication, the redundancy between Kimbrel and Hendricks is going to be a problem, you know. And I think Han gave away the store when he gave away Madrigal, because Madrigal reminds me an awful lot of somebody like a Nelly Fox, you know, a guy that gets on base. I know he's raw, but I think in the long run, I think that this all for 1 year reminds me a lot of 1959-60,
yep,
when the White Sox gave away all their young players. Johnny Callison, he gave away Norm Cash.
Johnny Romano, too, I think, right?
Romano, uh-huh. Earl Batty. Yeah. Earl Batty. We could go through the whole thing. It's very, very much the same. You give away the store for 1 year because of the manager you have, you know, that he's not going to be around. If he's around another year, I'll eat my hat.
Well, not if he keeps running out to the home plate, he might not be around for a while. Pull a hammy or something.
I think he's here for a while.
Tom, appreciate the call, and I understand what you're saying, because my dad raised me. Everybody talked about Bill Veeck, and my dad used to always tell me, he goes, look and see what he did between 59 and 60 and all the guys he traded. He goes, you can find all the guys he traded at all-star teams for the next, like, 5 years. You know, your Norm Cash, Earl Batty, guys that were, you know. And I said, okay. Well, so I always had that in the back of my head. So when Tom started red lit it off, I knew exactly where he was going.
But I mean, he did not do that here. You still have.
I know you still have, right?
Look, I mean, the roster is loaded roster's loaded with guys, with even guys you didn't expect to be here this year, and they're not only this year. The Vaughn and Sheets and all these guys.
Yeah.
He didn't
move any of them, because there's a lot of people that thought Kopech or Crochet or Vaughn or even Sheets or Berger or some one of those guys, and none of them left. They're all here. They're still in the organization.
I'd say you're pretty loaded still.
Yeah.
I was in the womb 59 to 60, so I'll take your word for it.
Yeah, we'll break it down one of these days. Let's go to Ed. Ed, what's going on?
Hi, I'm a Cubs fan, although I do root for the Sox, so I hope they have a great season. So in terms of that. But the main reason why the Cubs weren't good this year was the three guys that left. I mean, if you look at the stats, team-wise, OBP, slugging, OPS, runners left in scoring position, the Cubs were in the bottom 6 and 7 in Major League Baseball. And also, I've never seen where three guys on a contract year basically overall had a poor season. I know Bryant started out well, but he last year, month and a half, he's been terrible. So I think the Cubs went in the season, they traded Darvish, and they fulfilled, you know, they sort of stocked up their minor league. And I thought they were expecting these three guys to have career years, because this is their contract year. And I think that cost them at least 10 games in the standings. And I thought if they were like a 10-game difference, that they could be buyers at the trade deadline and pick up a couple starting pitchers, and that would set them up for the rest of the season. But these three guys just did not come through with it. And then also Ian Happ. I have one quick question.
Yeah.
Do you know, did Ian Happ have options this year? Does he have any options left?
You mean
terms of going down the minors?
So he can go down. I'm not sure if he does or not.
I think next option is DFA.
Yeah.
I mean, I at the beginning of the season, and this is not just Cub fans speak, there are a lot of people that were really high on Ian Happ. And so, and it wasn't Cub fans stuff.
No, I thought he played well in the second half of last year, didn't he? I mean, it was second half, which was a month.
Yeah, no, yeah. I did. He's had
a month or two occasionally,
logo.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I just thought he was going to have a great year, and I just thought maybe being sent down to the minors might have you know, got him to work on his game. And that's what I thought was a big mistake.
This might be his game, though. I mean, the more I see him, I think this is his game. He can get hot for a month or two, but or a month every year or whatever. Yeah. But I think this is the guy.
The other one, other thing that I thought Ross, did okay, but he should have let the starters go longer in the game. I think he really wore out his bullpen, and you notice that at near the last half of this part of the first half, I guess. And I just thought, Hendricks is gone complete games, so if he had left some of his starters go a little longer, and I thought the starting pitching actually did better than people expected. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I watched a game where, you know, the Cubs, it was 0-0, and the hitters hadn't gotten a hit, while the starting pitching, even Mills or Arrieta or who else, it actually pitched okay and kept the team in the game, and the hitting never came through.
Yeah, and that happened a couple times. Ed, we appreciate the call. Happened a couple times. I agree with Mills and with Alzolay, but not nearly enough.
No, and look, I mean, May was obviously the aberration now, right?
Yeah.
Because they were top five in pretty much every offensive category for about 3 weeks, and they've been bottom five for the rest before and after that.
Right.
And that's how you lose 11 straight. And it just when they traded Darvish, that told you what they thought about chances of doing anything this year was, right?
It did.
Or
but
were.
The one point he brought up, though, which I kind of agreed with, you probably sat back and said, okay, these three guys are contract seasons. They're last years. Let's see what they do. And I'm looking here. Bryant's hitting 267 with 18 and 51. You got Baez hitting 248, a 292 on base with 131 strikeouts and 18 errors. And Rizzo at 248 with 14 and 40. But, you know, his on-base is 346. Actually, Brian and Rizzo are getting on-base 358, 346. Not awful. But
no, Brian's OPS plus is 134, and it's almost his career average.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's still going to be a player, not going to be an MVP-type player anymore, I don't think. Maybe he is. But the point is, this wasn't going to be good enough, and yet these guys, one of our guys tweeting at us said, you can't pay mediocre performance is like all stars,
no.
And that's. I mean, on their best days, they were very good players, and on their worst days, they were subpar players, and they were all expecting a payday as if they had just won a World Series, and they were all in the championship conversation.
Yeah, and they've all had subpar seasons this year. Even
absolutely.
Bryant's a little bit more. 312-332-3776. Here till noon. Don't forget White Sox baseball later on tonight. Sox looking to get another victory against Cleveland. They already have a 9-game lead over the Guardians, should I say? The Tribe? Can I say that? I don't know. We'll worry about saying that next year right here on ESPN 1000.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Instagram at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
It's weird that Nancy Faust played this years and years ago, and it's actually took on a whole new life of its own after that. Now it's played everywhere. I mean,
you
hear it all the time. And
we'll be hearing it out at a guaranteed rate as we get closer to playoff baseball.
Yeah. Yeah. And they had a nice crowd. Was at 36,000 last night. Of course, Elvis Knight's going to bring him in. Going to pack him in for Elvis Knight.
Did they drop him from planes? I love Elvis.
It's weird when it seems like for some weird reason it rains on the south side and nowhere else.
Yes.
It was raining yesterday. I'm going, what the hell? There's no rain called for. It's like someone was just spitting on the ballpark. I mean, because I looked, I said, it's not raining here. What are you talking about?
See, and yesterday I thought about, beloved Cub teams.
Yeah.
But, hey, holy mackerel, the Cubs are on their way. Well, they were on their way yesterday to different destinations.
Yeah, well, here we got that.
Yeah.
Yeah, everywhere.
Yeah.
They're going to San Francisco today. They're going to New York today. Yeah. Yeah, they're going everywhere.
They're going to win today just with other uniforms.
Yeah. different uniforms. And
I still remember going down to the Jewel to get that 45.
Did you? Do you?
In 69.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Every week they would have a different Cubs player's photo, and I would get him on a bike and go down there. I mean, for a team that didn't win anything.
Right.
You know,
oh, I know.
Jed called this the best Cubs team in the last half century. Well, I mean, the best core group, obviously. But, I mean, I don't know, 40 years from now, are they going to be
Hall of
Famers? Yeah. Ambassadors up right. in the suites?
Yeah.
There's Anthony Rizzo, bringing in some corporate group and sitting and telling stories for a nice check from the Ricketts family.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, you're right. I mean, look at all the Hall of Famers around that team. It was amazing, truly was. Let's go.
I still don't get the idea of bringing Rizzo back. I really don't. I mean, to me,
I know.
Move on.
My biggest fear? He takes advantage of that short porch in right field.
Yeah,
has absurd power numbers. And then gets $100 million from the Cubs.
Well, I think Jed
is smarter than that.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
But again, what would the fan base want? The fan base would want a Rizzo reunion, but I'm with you, Hanley. I'm in the move-on camp.
But, I mean, if I'm a season ticket holder, if I'm thinking about not re-upping next year right now, because it's going to be basically a triple-A plus team.
Right.
Will Rizzo returning make me sign a five-figure check to keep my four seats or three seats? Maybe. I mean, you said it. I was thinking it. It'll be interesting to see the people really paying the piper if they're going to sit through a rebuild and pay top five MLB prices for everything at the ballpark to watch it. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. And for the old people out there, older folks, not Pat Piper. You're not going to pay him.
No. Tension.
Yeah.
Tension.
He got paid enough. Give him his megaphone. Let's go to Homer, Glenn, and Mike. Mike, you're on ESPN 1000. What's happening?
Good morning, fellas. I'm 68 years old, and I thought that I had seen everything in baseball, but I have never seen a catching situation that is as horrid as the White Sox catching staff. You have three catchers. One probably makes $150 million a year that your pitchers don't want to throw to, that can't block a ball, can't hit. You have another catcher who is supposed to be the actual number two guy. The manager has no confidence whatsoever. And then you have a guy we brought up from the minors that probably couldn't hit grade school pitching. This, you cannot win when you don't have pitchers that don't want to throw to your catcher. Now, we talk about Grandel coming back. Grandel's no great shake. He's hitting a .185.
Oh, no, I agree with you on that. I know.
I mean, there's got to be a move that's going to be made. I mean, why do you think La Russa keeps putting Zavala back there? Because the pitchers want to throw to him. They've got no faith in Collins, and they certainly have no faith in Grandal. And my other last point is I've never seen a team. They basically need to get a book and read it about the game of baseball as far as the acumen of a game because they just don't have it. I mean, they run the bases horribly. They continuously forget how many outs there are. They can't bunt, except for the kid that they got yesterday from Cleveland. I mean, there's a lot of holes on this team if you think about it. Thanks for taking my vent.
Yeah. I'm not going to disagree with most of it. I agreed. I thought that Collins was going to be better.
So Rick Hahn didn't do enough.
Well, a lot of people think they should have got a catcher. But, I mean, were there any catchers moved out there anywhere?
No.
You know, there is one guy, I can't even remember what team he catches for. He used to be with the Giants. He's a really good defensive catcher. I wanted to get this. Patrick Nolan, who works, he's the editor at Sox Machine, the Sox Machine podcast. He said that Zach Collins' rankings on framing, he's 58th of 58. Now, I hate framing stats. Blocking balls, he's 53rd out of 58. And preventing steals, he's 47th of 58th. He's the worst defensive catcher in the major leagues, and only Sal Perez has been more costly because he's played more games. So I immediately went on to Patrick Nolan's tweet, and I asked him. I said, where exactly is Yasmani Grandal? And he said, he's not as bad as you think. And I said, well, that's hard for me to imagine, but the numbers will say it. Because I don't think Grandal's good at all, and I thought Collins could block it. And the caller was right about Sebby Zavala. He can't hit.
No.
And, you know, the Sox have always had catchers that were good catchers and couldn't hit way back to the 80s with Chuck Brinkman, Eddie Brinkman's, you know, brother. He couldn't hit at all, but he was a great catcher. He was a really good catcher. I don't know if they had framing back in those days. I know they didn't have a stat like that. But, yeah, they could have used a catcher, but they didn't get one. And now they're going to have to deal with this. They like what Yasmani Grandal does because of his framing stats and what he gets on base. I think the last I checked, he's probably the same because it hasn't changed because he's been hurt. But he was hitting 188, and his on base was 388, which is pretty bizarre. Yeah, 188 and 388. He has 60 walks and 64 strikeouts. And he does run into one once in a while, 14 homers, 38 RBIs. But, yeah.
But what you're paying him, you know.
Yeah, he's supposed to do a lot more than that.
But, I mean, everyone celebrated the fact that he was the first guy who wanted to be a part of this who wasn't coming through the minor league system, right?
And yeah.
That he said, I see a winning organization. I went, so you get what you get. I mean, that Wilson Contreras is arbitration eligible at the end of the season, right?
Yeah.
Really interesting. You know, I assume they're going to make him a decent offer, and if whatever the arbiter awards him, they'll give it to I know framing has been an issue with him, but yeah. Was there any conversation between Rick and Jed about that, you know, expanding some deals?
Yeah, I remember the pitcher's name now, or the catcher's name now. Austin Hedges is the guy I was thinking about.
He's played that course a few times.
Did you? Yeah, that's pretty good. He's only making $3.28 million. He's really a heck of a catcher, really good defensive catcher, and he's got a minus WAR, and I think he actually played for Cleveland or is with Cleveland, so he may even be on the field today. He's another guy that can't hit 161. It's like if you can ever find a catcher, that's why Contreras is so valuable, because he can do both.
Sure,
you know,
and you know all the intangible stuff too, right? I mean, he gets in a pitcher's face. I know everyone says this guy since he got here, even when he was hurt, would sit in on those pitchers meetings and you know, he wanted to learn everything, right?
Right.
I mean, he wanted to know the game inside and out and the staff inside and out. So that tells you what kind of player he is. Here's the other thing. Now the trade deadline's gone. You wait to see all the waivers. Everyone's going to be put on waivers. Going to be put on waivers.
Sure.
And you'll see who clears and who doesn't. And then you'll start making these waiver-type deals, you know. So maybe pick up a defensive catcher for you know, nothing in another week or two. Who knows?
Yeah, they may. I just think with Grandal coming back, they're just going to let him come back and catch. He had a hard time. The last year and a half, I have not liked him behind the plate. And it doesn't seem that many of the pitchers are really fans of him. But they love what Sebi Zavala does. He just can't hit the ball. And
that's not their concern.
No, it's not. And to be really honest, it shouldn't be. They've got enough other hitters that they should be able to score.
The pitchers don't care.
The pitchers don't care.
The pitchers want to hit that guy to maximize their effort.
Right? Yeah, so. and a guy that can actually get them a few extra strikes here and there.
Yep.
We come back. We'll grab a couple more calls. We'll wrap up our polls and see what you guys all thought about the trade deadline on the poll questions we put out there. Hanley and Huebner here on ESPN 1000.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000.
The 16th Fantasy Football Championship presented by Miller Lite coming your way at 115 Bourbon Street, Saturday, August 21st. And this year, the top fantasy player this season wins a brand new Janus motorcycle, awesome looking bike. Special guests include Field Yates, ESPN fantasy expert. You get gambling advice from the guys from the Odds Couple, Mike North and Carmen DeFalco. Also a live fantasy football draft. Bears preseason viewing party as the Bears are playing a noon game that day. Tickets are on sale right now, $20 at ESPNChicagoFFC.com. The ESPN 1000 Fantasy Football Convention starts at 8 a.m. on August 21st. Live music from The Noise. Also, the sponsors, Prop Swap, Hooters, Bettenhausen Automotive, and Janus Motorcycles, also 3Chi. And that is coming up, and the guys are all geeked up. And see where Justin Fields goes in the fantasy draft this year and how long it'll take for him to get on the field. Let's go back to the phones here on ESPN 1000, wrapping things up. Let's go to Brent. Brent, what's happening today?
Hey, good morning, gents. How are you guys doing?
Doing well.
Okay, yeah, I just want to touch base on the whole club's downfall. I think ultimately it falls, you know, with the ownership and Theo not being on the same page all those years. But a few things I don't hear talked about a lot is they didn't replace Fowler and Zobrist when they were in their prime. I know Zobrist had two good years out of four, but they really diversified the lineup, you know, being switch hitting and getting on base and making contact. Number two, losing Addison Russell for, you know, the reasons that he, you know,
right.
Because you're losing your starting all-star shortstop, and, you know, that leaves a big hole in the infield, and then they had to accelerate Nico Horner. And then lastly, just the Jason Hayward contract. I mean, he, you know, he was making $28 million for 2017, 2018, so that really handcuffed the options they could bring in pitchers. And then you add in, you know, Yu Darvish's lack of performance when they signed him, and then Tyler Chatwood. So, I mean, they can blame Ricketts all they want, but he gave Theo that the money to make these decisions, and yep. It just didn't work out.
Yeah, he did. We appreciate the call. Yeah, that year when he brought over Chatwood and also Darvish, not the best of years for Theo.
No, yeah. And then the Quintana trade helped.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, no, they look, I mean, every front office has swings and misses.
Sure.
And one thing about Theo and Jed, when they did swing and miss, it was pretty noticeable. But they had carte blanche to do what they want. I don't know that, I mean, Brickett says Jed has carte blanche to do what he wants. I'm not sure that's necessarily as true as it was a few years ago.
It's still shocking to me that there were other people interested in to spend that much money on Jason Hayward.
I mean, that there were supposedly bigger deals out there.
Yeah, I know. That's shocking. We go to Gurney and James. James, what's up?
Hey, H&H. How's it going, boys?
Doing well.
Yeah, real quick, I just want to tip my cap to the boys that left. So let's just really be honest with each other. They did not mature, especially Baez. They never really matured as hitters. I don't know what it was, changing hitting coaches, but that offense was just dead, unfortunately. And a lot of talent collectively, it just didn't work. So let's move on. So my biggest issue, I mean, it is what it is. Obviously, in hindsight, without the pandemic a couple of years ago, to get rid of them, you might have got more. The whole landscape has changed with what you're going to get. The only problem I have with the Kimbrel trade is not so much Nick. Nick's okay. I think Nick and Horner are the two of the same guys, so one's going to be expendable, in my opinion. It's the Cody Hoyer part that I don't like about it. I would have rather seen maybe a couple really decent prospects for him. I just think Cody Hoyer, he's around five. I watched him a lot, watching the Sox. He's just, I mean, there's potential there, but that's the kind of part that bothered me is not. And Rick Hahn, man, he didn't get rid of any of his top prospects.
No.
So that guy is just, he's just amazing. So that's, I'm not so upset. I understand. I knew this was coming. I'm not a 16 bandwagon. I'm 48. I've been watching the Cubs my whole life, correct? So I understand things. The landscape has changed with what you're going to get, but the Hoyer thing is what bothered me. I would like to see a couple prospects. Nick's okay because, again, Horner, they're the same player. So that's what I'm saying. You guys are doing a great job. What do you think, boys? Enjoy the rest of your day.
Thanks, James. It's funny that Hoyer brings in Hoyer and they spell differently. But, yeah, the Cody Hoyer from last year, everybody loves. But this year he's not been pitching that well. So we'll have to wait and see.
It's interesting, Rick Hahn said with a straight face that he and Jed Hoyer really, you know, battled on.
Over those guys.
Throwing Hoyer in on that deal.
Uh-huh.
I mean, in ISU with the 5.12 ERA this year, you know, I'm reading some people say, well, he pitched better than the numbers. And you said, no, thank you.
No. Him and Bummer both have a tendency of leaving the first guy they face get on base. Quickly, we got a minute. Let's see if we can wrap up these polls real quick. Emotions aside, did Cubs president Jed Hoyer do a good job with his deadline deals? What'd they say, Tyler?
59% say yes, that they are happy with the moves the Cubs made over the past day or two.
Okay. White Sox GM Rick Hahn's deadline deals were what? Great, good, too costly, or check back in October?
The majority are saying great, 41.5%. That's followed by good at about 32%. Check back in October at 20% and too costly at 6%.
Okay, and the last one, who's most to blame for the Cubs dismantling? Ownership, front office / coaches, players, or all of the above?
People are most frustrated with ownership, 37%. Closely followed behind by all of the above at 36%. Then players at 21%, front office coaches at 5%.
Yeah, that's enough of the hitting coaches. We got to go, Brian.
I want to shout out to Angry Al, though. He tweeted the W flag with TF and a question mark flying above
the
field.
Me and Xander will be here tomorrow. We'll be breaking it down for you here on ESPN 1000.